Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 184.
Jeez.
Did I get it right?
That's it.
Okay.
Pause for...
That was like... No. Just pausing to see if I was right.
It was almost like Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
It was like,
come on, just go ahead. Just go ahead right now and record 1, 2,
yeah,
3,
just do it.
4. And then I can even go, real spoilers, 1, 2, 3.
Clack to
Vrata.
Nicklatai.
I said your damn words.
We'll do it like the time or temperature lady.
Yeah.
This is episode 1.
Oh. That was the highlight of my day when I was younger. I was like, ooh, time and temp.
I had a rough childhood, Kevin.
Wow.
Comic books, wrestling, and the time and temp.
Did you live under the stairs?
Yes. Like,
me and Harry Potter.
You had stairs?
Yeah.
Let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe to us. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us a lot. Also, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. Go there, like the page, share a show. You can join our League of Show Sharers. I read them on the last episode. We won't be doing that again today. So there we go.
Or you can join the League of iTunes Reviewers.
The League of iTunes Reviewers. The low
I'll work on that. I'll come up with something for that.
Yeah. you're our go-to guy.
I'll come up with something.
And so with that, we will dig into Money Monster.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the name of the guy on...
Snidely Whiplash.
Jim Cramer.
I don't know. Who's that guy?
Mad Money on CNBC.
Okay, so
what this is supposed to be.
Yeah,
Clooney is doing a parody of this guy. And it
which
makes,
would have been relevant like 10 years ago.
That's what I thought. I was like, this is a really weird parody that I feel like isn't like... That guy was all
relevant
over the place for a while.
It's an airport novel movie if you were flying into a really bad airport 15 years
you're
ago.
Flying into
on
airport,
TWA.
The movie.
Yeah.
TWA. Right.
Ozark Airlines.
Hey, I've seen a good Clooney airport movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
A very good Clooney airport
this is
movie.
Not it.
No. Before we get
stop agreeing.
Yeah. So he's doing, you know, the bell, you know, buy, sell, all that stuff, the bells and whistles where he's wearing the stupid
hat. But it's an entertaining, like,
this is the part that I hated. It's not entertaining. I wanted to punch him in the face.
Well, that was the point. He was parodying an obnoxious character.
Wasn't that obnoxious is the problem. Like,
I felt like he was supposed to.
I mean, and he was supposed to be, but I felt like Clooney was supposed to be on air as this character, like, I just felt like he was sleepwalking through it. If you watch Mad Money, that guy is like frothing at the mouth.
Only the beginning part was he ever like doing the showy whatever.
He would come out and he would dance to some stupid hip hop song.
But
he
didn't even
dancers,
really
but it,
work though.
But it didn't. It didn't work at all. Like I didn't believe that
it
this
was
is what
weird
this
to
show
see
was
him
like.
Dance like that.
And yeah, it also
that was unnerving.
It also
it was.
I did like what they were going for with like the quirky, like you're thinking this is George Clooney and Jodie Foster, like there's some names attached to this.
I didn't realize that Jodie Foster even directed this until the very end.
Right. Well,
like,
a lot of people had no idea. Show go Jodie Foster. Like,
yeah.
Now I know who's calling in favors because it's like not, your answer is why did this get made?
Yeah.
Because Jodie Foster wanted to.
But the thing
trying
is
to recoup that Elysium money.
I kind of liked what they were doing with it. Seemed like it was going to be a really quirky, like, art house type film with Clooney in it. And I was like, okay, you know, this could work if we get something like a Coen Brothers quirky, you know, that kind of a Clooney in it.
Yeah, okay.
And so when he started started off doing the weird, like, with the dances and everything, I'm like, this is going to be a quirky, like, a weird, like, serious subject matter, but it's going to be out there, like, right?
So when you say quirky, I automatically think, what was the one with Brad Pitt? Thank you for... No, that was
Burn After Reading.
Yeah. Like, that's
I don't like that either.
I don't remember. I feel like
but,
I like that.
But, you know, I thought we were going to get something like that. So I'm like, okay, I'm kind of into this. But the problem was that it's like they couldn't find their footing because they were doing this. They were trying to be this obnoxious, like, oh, this guy's so out there and, you know, showy and he's got these dancers or whatever. But then that ended and then it was just like a financial show. Like, I didn't see him as obnoxious as they were trying to portray. So, like, the tone just kind of switched once he did his intro. And, okay, what are they doing
it was
here?
Like, you know, he was just trying to be the shock DJ, like the Howard Stern version of, like, this guy.
Yeah.
Which is something people would do on these TV shows with their buttons and their graphics. Yeah. Like, it was obnoxious, you know? But it didn't really find its footing on that tone because...
I think it's also getting harder and harder to parody the extreme nature of media.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, you're parodying what has become a parody.
Well, it's almost like... Do you watch Veep? Does anybody else watch Veep?
I do not.
Okay. So Veep is this fantastic show on HBO with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and they've done interviews with them now where... they're talking to them and they're just like, when you see what's happening in the real political landscape,
right.
Who's the youngest Bluth?
Tony Hale.
Tony Hale is, but he's like, I can't believe, like, it's almost like our writers are writing what is happening.
That's Buster Bluth.
Right? Yeah, Buster Bluth. Which, by the way, did you catch the Bluth stairmobile in the Winter Soldier or in Civil War?
No.
It's at the airfield.
At the airport?
Yeah.
Seriously?
The Bluth stair car.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Kind of like the political landscape right now is something that we would write.
Oh, it's totally an SNL joke.
Oh, yeah. Like, so what you're saying, Tom, is like it's getting almost impossible to parody anything when what's happening in real life is way funnier.
You're totally right. And so, yeah, that's the only thing that I thought was jarring was, like, I liked that Clooney did seem to be kind of going for it with those weird moments, but it just didn't really work in the setting of the film. And then, yeah, when it got to the money part, I was just like, it did feel kind of sleepwalkish. You know, like, there was something to it. Now, there were moments that I really liked where I thought Clooney did a good job, but it was just kind of back and forth where I was like, I just don't know what kind of movie this is.
Like, there are moments because
I don't think they knew what kind of movie this was.
I think they tried. I think they had an idea and then it changed.
I think they didn't know if they wanted this to be kind of a dark comedy.
Right.
Yep. And so there were flashes of that.
Yeah,
they wanted to be this like, we're going to tell you the truth about how the system works.
Yes.
And then they pushed out on that.
Right.
I would agree with that.
They
Is this a preachy movie? Is it a dark comedy? Like, that's what I mean with the quirkiness. It just couldn't find its footing on what type of movie it is. I think the concept, I liked the story, and I like it all taking place in one place.
I actually liked the
like a play,
the guy,
you know?
I liked that guy, the other kid.
He was really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed
it. Who is that actor? I might need to look it up if we don't know.
But also, like, we've seen Clooney and Julia Roberts interact together before, and there is, like, there's a definite chemistry between those two. And I do
Jack
feel,
O'Connell.
What has he been in? Because he looked familiar, and I thought he was a good actor.
Like,
can't think
this
of what
one.
He's
like
in.
It felt off, and I don't know why. Because I mean, we had those Ocean movies are fantastic. I love those movies.
Second one's
for the reboot.
I like the second one. The second one's a little weird.
It's a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah, but
they were enjoying their off time a little.
Yes,
more than their on time.
Yeah. But I enjoyed them on screen together.
Yeah.
And this one just felt a little strange.
Well, you know, this is the thing. So Julia Roberts plays his producer. So,
yeah. Right.
So she's in his ear the bulk of the film. And that's how she communicates with him, as they do in television. And I would be interested to know how this movie was actually filmed.
Yeah.
Because...
You think they weren't together?
It feels like we got another Julia Roberts movie where she's not actually in the damn movie.
Yeah.
And until the end, do you see them in the same...
You see them in the same location at the very beginning, at the very end. And then other than that, she's in the room with a bunch of no-names.
Yeah, I would be willing to bet. There's one time where she's off stage, but I guess that could have even been filmed differently. Like, you see them, and I don't know the cameras on both of them, but she's, like, looking out from the backstage door or whatever. But then again, that could be a different cut.
You know? That's true. That's a good... Maybe that's why it felt so weird.
It did feel like that, and I agree, because it didn't really ruin it for me, but when I was watching, I'm like, they're never together. She's always just in his ear and it cuts back and forth.
And why would you make a movie with, like, you know, these are still two of the biggest stars in Hollywood.
I agree.
And then not put them in the same scene.
It's because, you know, I think this was a favor for Jodie Foster.
I don't think Julia Roberts has the pull. But you know what? Now that I say that, and then I look at the people who were in the theater with me.
Yeah, she does for those
people.
She
does for those.
And I think if you put her in a movie with George Clooney that's worth a crap.
Yeah.
I think she could still sell some tickets.
She could still sell
some tickets to, you know, 40 and up, and it would be, you know, and people would be like
50 and up.
Yeah, and it'd be like, "Oh, that's a big deal. They're together." Like, that's, you know, but
yeah, that's true.
And that Jack O'Connell is the lead actor from Unbroken.
Oh, okay.
Is why.
Oh, you know, okay. Yeah. So. Where he carries the piece of wood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's
the wood guy.
The wood guy.
Yes, that's what everybody remembers from that movie.
Is the piece of wood. Yeah, he won't drop the wood. No, that's not a joke.
People are like, Edgar Bergen. It's the Edgar Bergen story. Another old-timey reference.
That's a really old-timey reference
for you, too. Yeah.
So Clooney's doing his thing, and then they apparently this company has lost $800 million in the matter of 24 hours.
And, like, I didn't really get... I mean, okay, I get that maybe the company is just ambiguous. It doesn't really matter because you get that this is big business screwing over the little guy. Like, that's what they're trying
because
to tell you.
This movie is written by people that hate business don't understand.
Right.
So, and like, there are certainly reasons to be mad at big business. I'm not trying to be an apologist for big business.
Right.
But I think what makes this movie so frustrating for me is I like it wasn't that long ago that I saw Big Short.
Yeah.
And
right.
Big Short was amazing.
Yeah.
Big Short took incredibly complex issues and boiled it down in a way that, like, you could really get what's going on.
Because you had Margot Robbie in a bathtub.
Yeah, like, and they would own
win.
It, you know.
And then it was like, "Oh, okay, I totally understood what you just said."
Right. And, like, this movie didn't
Wait, did she get naked in that one too?
Well, she's not naked.
Well, she's just in a bathtub. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like, but it's just like, what?
And this one, they're
I
just,
would agree. I'm right
company,
there with you.
I'm like, what does this company do exactly? Like, it was just kind of a...
They don't tell
it's,
you.
Like, it's lazy screenwriting.
It was.
They do
it was
business,
just,
Kevin.
It's right. Lazy screenwriting.
This is business
they trade,
that they do.
They trade
this
things.
Company, yeah.
They trade businesses, and they invest in businesses. Yeah. And
so they are a business that... Is
import,
on the
export.
Stock. Yeah, this is a business that's on the stock market, publicly traded, and their job is to buy and sell stocks in micro, like, milliseconds.
They've got an algorithm.
Really quick. Yeah, and so they've outsourced
it's an
this.
Algo. It's algo. What the people in the industry.
Man, yeah, if algos. They said algo one more time.
It was like, what was that movie where they kept saying the short word where we're just like,
is
gonna
that-
punch you.
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember.
Where
yeah.
it was something that really irritated us that they kept
saying.
Well,
because
saying
it's like, I don't
short...
think, do they, does anybody actually say algo? Like, I feel.
I mean, I do programming.
They're just trying to make fetch happen.
I'm not
they?
Saying I work, like, in a
yeah.
programming.
Fetch, is that what you said? Yeah. Stop trying to make
I mean,
that happen.
I don't necessarily, like, work in a code shop, but I've programmed websites yeah. and stuff for 15 years. I've never heard someone say algo before
yeah.
in my
yeah.
life, but, you know.
We all, everybody says algorithm.
Yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
says
yeah.
algo.
I don't, I think even
for
the,
now.
Even the kid that designed the algorithm didn't call an algo yeah. did he or did he
I think
he did.
He did
okay
he did.
Who that kid to go back to our previous episode yeah. he's in the reboot of the Friday the 13th
oh is he
yeah
how about that
yeah.
I knew he looked familiar for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah
so
he's actually not a bad actor it's just,
no he
yeah.
no I liked him but anyway this company buys and sells stocks so they are their value is just going up and up and up because these little micro transactions are making people a lot of money but somehow overnight there was a glitch in the algo and it lost $800 million in the company's value. And the CEO goes on the news and he's like, yeah, it was a glitch.
Who
really can't
never
explain
plays
it.
A good guy? The only time that guy ever played a good guy was in The Wire.
It's called typecasting.
And that was it. And he was great in The Wire.
Yeah.
But he was Jigsaw in Punisher Warzone.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I watched wow. the show The Affair on Showtime.
Is that any good?
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's you have they it thinks it's very artsy.
Yeah.
And you have to really get past the fact that it's not very artsy and that it's just a sleazy soap
Does
opera.
Does that have Moira Tierney on it?
Yes. And then
I
you
do
can
like
just
like Moira Tierney.
I do like some yeah. Moira Tierney. But you and then you can just if you can just acknowledge that you're going to accept this as just being a sleazy nighttime soap, then it can be enjoyable.
Like Silk Stockings?
Let's not go.
Love Femme Nikita.
Yeah,
USA. Red Shoe Diaries.
Someone watched a lot of USA.
Hey, that's what Raw was on.
I know.
And they would always put put La Femme Nikita on after
coming
Raw.
Coming up next, La Femme Nikita. Yeah,
coming up next on USA.
A little guy in the corner
that's
of the
right,
screen.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he loses $800 million, and the CEO is just like, it was a glitch, and so no one knows what's going on. But the thing is, like, people don't necessarily seem that outraged by it, except for one person.
This one guy.
Yeah, it's just one guy who's mad about it.
This one guy is very mad. So
he will speak truth to power.
Yes. Yeah. So on Money Monster.
Money Monster. Not
Moneyball. Yeah, I was thinking Mad Money, but on Money Monster, Clooney's character starts the show, and, you know, he's doing his thing, and there's always these, like, zany gimmicks that he does for ratings. You know, it's that kind of obnoxious.
Golly.
You know, it is like the Zoo Crew of TV shows. Meanwhile, while he's doing his show, a delivery guy comes in, and, of course, the lazy guy's eating a donut and drinking the security guys
You are at a TV studio, and like the dude walks in with two boxes, and there's a security dude who like is the most stereotypical,
eating a donut and drinking a coffee, watching TV, and he's like
"What happened to Mikey?" Or
they finally fired that guy.
And then he keeps walking. He's like, "Hey!" And then
he's
never
the count too. I didn't tell you that. It's the count from Sesame Street.
But he never tries to go after him. So he ends up on stage.
Yeah, like there's no checking in. There's no signing anything. Just walks.
I've been to TV and radio stations.
There's a
sign in for everything.
There's a metal detector. There's all kinds of stuff
because of stuff like this.
Exactly.
So Julia Roberts sees him on camera, and she tells the cameraman, "Hey, zoom in on this guy. What is this?"
Well, she thinks
it's part of his zany.
Yeah, because Clooney has a knack for going off script and doing.
Apparently, he's done stuff like this before, but you really have to read between the lines to pick that up.
Right.
Like, it's like, you know, that he, you know, he doesn't stay on script and
Sacagawea, Tom.
Yeah.
And that's why the security guy, when they end up calling him, he's like, that's a good one or whatever. And they're like, no, this is for real.
Yeah, he's like, turn on the TV.
Everyone thinks that this is just part of his thing. So the guy ends up putting the boxes down and pulls a gun on Clooney. And so at first, Clooney thinks that like his producers are in on it, but then you find out he's not. And he says, open the box. And he goes, what's in the box? What's in the box?
I was like, please don't make that joke.
I was waiting for it. Yeah.
Don't reference a better movie.
So he ends up.
In other words, don't reference a movie.
I didn't hate this movie. I liked it.
I enjoyed it too. I think there were some things weird about it, but I really liked the idea. I really like how it was like a play where, you know, like a one.
Yeah.
I think
what it comes down to is I like George Clooney a lot. Like, I think he's a fantastic actor.
I like George Clooney.
And I just think when he's on screen, even when he's not doing his best, I still enjoy him. As an actor,
I thought like Clooney's performance was a little like I can see
even,
like Tom's,
even in Tomorrowland. Like I liked him in Tomorrowland,
and he was not the problem with Tomorrowland. Like you know, even when I don't know that I've ever seen a George Clooney movie where I felt like George Clooney was the problem.
Batman and Robin.
No, I don't.
Clooney's not the problem.
He's a great Bruce Wayne. He's a great Bruce Wayne. He is Bruce Wayne.
Right.
He's a real life Bruce Wayne.
He was absolutely Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but there was something a little off about that show performance and the tone of the movie. But I really like the concept. Basically, he opens up the box and it's a bomb vest, and the assailant, this Jacko. Got Jacko Connell.
If he wanted to wear a bomb vest, he should have just strapped a script of this movie to his chest.
But Jack O'Connell plays this guy that basically we find out has lost $60,000.
Yeah, and I felt
following
like
the tip to buy Clooney on his show like a month back, said this is safer than your savings account.
Yeah, giving a shout out to Darwin Cook, rest in peace. He did that, the Parker books. And in that, for The Hunter, he's only after like $47,000. And in that Mel Gibson movie, Paychecks. On the
Ben Affleck.
That's a very, very specific title.
Yeah.
James Coburn is like, just whatever you want. He's like, I just want $47,000. Yeah. And he's like, $47,000? Like, this is. And he shoots the alligator luggage. Yeah, he's
that's
like,
just, that's just me, man.
Oh, that's a great movie.
So the kid.
We talk about that.
No,
damn it.
So the kid.
Can we talk about the movie that it's a remake of? It's even better.
It is even better. With like has like legit women beating in that movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, so
okay, but say,
why do you sound so excited about that? Because you don't do it anymore. Like you can't put that on. You can't put that in movies anymore. Yeah, it's not okay.
Okay, so hey, hold on.
That's
so,
what I'm saying. Like, it's not okay to like he beats the crap out of a woman. It's just like, yeah, man, whatever. You can't do that anymore.
Okay.
You know, it's funny to me that you can't do it anymore.
Trump for prez.
No.
I was trying to explain to my oldest son, he's 16 now, so I can finally tell him about things or watch things with him that I couldn't used to.
And that's, you know, cool.
Green even slime
if
porn.
Even if I'm on the fence, I'm like, I've seen his browser history. He'll be fine. And
that's why he lost his phone.
Yeah, exactly. Ding. And so, but so I was trying to explain to him that no, there was a time when Eddie Murphy was funny, and he was like, well, why don't we see that anymore? And I was like, oh, because it was funny, but by today's standards, it's pretty offensive. Yep. Like it's pretty. Like there's a lot of like.
It's really.
Yeah, and
which
so,
is a shame. Like that, I feel like that's a lot. Like it's lost.
Well, I agree funny. Because we'll never see Blazing Saddles again. You know, we'll never see a movie like that.
You will never.
And
see
that
a
is
movie
one
like
of the funniest
again.
Movies in history.
Yeah. And, well, and
what do you say?
The thing with Blazing Saddles is, I mean, a lot of that is coming from Richard Pryor.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Totally.
It's that exactly that same kind of which Eddie Murphy was.
And so it was, but it is one of those things. I think the closest we get to that is. Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with
they
that.
Probably,
for sure.
They skate the closest.
Yeah, I agree
that,
with that too.
You know, sort of
do you think
worldwide political incorrectness. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's because it's earned for them? Like, do you think a new comedy troupe could come in and do something like that right off the bat?
Being mostly supported, because sometimes Comedy Central will pull back a little bit, but being mostly supported, and also the fact that, like, they just keep going and they don't flinch.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't.
And they move so
fast. They don't back down.
That's true.
They knock out a show in 3 days.
Yeah.
And no,
Which is incredible. I
agree 100% it's earned because, yeah, sure, they started off raunchy, but they did not start off doing the things they do now.
No.
They have been Comedy Central's moneymaker 20 years. And
yeah. Has that really been around 20 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
I remember watching a bootleg when I was at the point of the 8 minute short, the Spirit of Christmas short.
Wow,
that they made.
You saw the
that on VHS.
Yeah,
it was terrible quality.
Tracy Wilde had a copy, and it was
really
so funny. And then like a year later, they were like, "This is on Comedy Central," and we're like, "What?
That's
awesome.
Wow,
that's crazy."
So, they definitely have earned it. But you know, that is the thing that I miss. Like when I go back and I watch a Mel Brooks film and how good they are, and people that are ignorant to them will say, "Oh, that's so offensive and racist." And it's like, no, they are making fun of the racist
it's
people.
It's the old Kevin Smith thing where it's like,
well,
just
Eddie
because,
Murphy wasn't.
No,
Eddie Murphy
wasn't.
But
I mean, but Blazing Saddles type humor. They weren't saying being racist was good and, you know, slaves are good or anything like that. Like, they're making fun of those
people.
Well,
it's like when the argument comes out of the idiot character's mouth,
they're all the dumb characters.
It negates the argument.
In Blazing Saddles, all you got to do is watch, you know, the ranch hand start singing Camp Town Ladies.
Right.
And everybody's watching them like, look at these yokels. I mean, it does everything you need to know about, you know, where they stand and where the irony is right there in the scene.
Yeah, nobody can do irony anymore.
But political correctness has killed a lot of mainstream humor. I mean, I know on the internet everything exists.
Well, it all turns to toilet humor. Like, that's the safest thing you can do.
But now the mainstream is stupid Adam Sandler bad movies toilet humor. And it's not smart. It's not making a statement like those movies were. And so it's a shame. But
there were a lot of dumb movies back then, too. Let's not kid ourselves.
But
long and short, so I sat there and watched Delirious on YouTube with my 16-year-old. So
how'd that go?
I'm if my ex-wife listens to this podcast, it'll probably come up in our next custody battle. But he was just like, you know, and it was funny because like so much of it is, but you know, I'm like, hey Norton,
yeah,
and I bend over,
yeah,
like you know, he was just like he was laughing, but he was just like, whoa, and I was like
doing the side eye, like
and he was like, and this is why you don't hear Eddie Murphy stand up anymore, is because by today's standards, no one would tolerate that. But
it's true.
But it was funny because as filthy as he was, it was also interesting how much of it, looking back, because when I was listening to Delirious, I was doing the math in my head of how old I was, and I was listening to that, and I was like, holy crap, I was listening to this when I was like 12.
Really? Mine was Robin Williams
at the
Met.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it was Carnegie.
Those Robin Williams stand-ups were not
like,
as much
I had that on tape, and it was like, I was way too young.
Wasn't that amazing when you're like, oh, he's in Jumanji and then you watch his stand-up?
Yeah, and I was like, what?
It's like Bob Saget.
You could bring in records. This is grade school, and I remember listening to Sister Mary Holy Water, or Sister Mary Elephant from Cheech and Chong.
Yeah,
playing Cheech and Chong records, in grade school.
Wow.
And
I had that on tape. Nobody. My old man had that like on a cassette.
I don't know.
Yeah, on one side he had Monty Python, yeah. And on the flip side he had Cheech and Chong.
Oh, I was like 8.
Were they playing it on the thing that you crank with the horn coming off of it?
Let's make a dope deal. That's the one that I had. Yeah. Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah. So
back to this movie. Yeah. So anyway, his mother passed away and his inheritance was $60,000. And based on the tip of George Clooney's character, he invested it all in this company. Well, he was part of that $800 million they lost overnight, lost all the $60,000. So that's why he is holding a gun to Clooney's head. Now, on this episode, the CEO of that company, Ibis, was supposed to be a guest. And of course, with all this stuff going on, he's off doing some sketchy dealings out of the country. No one can find him. He's disappeared. He's supposed to be in Switzerland, you know, whatever. But there's obviously more to that story, as we find out. The other box was a bomb vest for Ibis as well. So anyway, the whole thing is he's like, you know, I
hated the name of the company.
I did
Ibis,
too.
Ibis. It was like Isis had irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Also explains why this movie's so
So basically the whole thing was they're trying, you know, the police get called in and, you know, they're kind of set up outside of the station because he says no, he locks everything in, no one gets in, no one gets out. They were able to sneak some of the crew out of there.
They clear out the building, they get everybody.
Yeah,
like,
there's a few cameramen.
Yeah, so you know the guy that with the long hair and the ponytail that you see with the goatee?
Yeah.
That's Shannon Elizabeth's ex-husband.
Ex-husband. Because he was in Jay and Silent Bob.
He was in Jay and Silent Bob, and I think he was also in one of the American Pie movies. I think he was in the second American Pie movie. Yeah, but it's the only ways I remember that guy. I was like, you were married to one of the hottest women in the world at one point.
It, which was so weird when you see him, you're just like, huh, okay, must be funny. Rich.
Huge wiener.
Wow. They clear out the station.
I don't know.
So Julia Roberts is still there directing. There's a couple of people doing sound and then a couple cameramen. And so basically he's like, you know, I want to find out what happened. And Clooney's character is like, how much was it? How much you lose? $60,000. He's like, I will write you a check right now. We can figure this out. And this guy's like, it's too late. I'm here. I knew when I came in that I wasn't leaving. And so you're basically, he wants answers. So that's
also in like typical news, like big business, not typical, but in my opinion, they're throwing out buzzwords and terms and they're not giving the guy any real information. And
right. So they're
reading off, like this movie,
kind of like this movie. Yeah.
I can definitely see what Tom didn't like was the political agenda of the movie. And obviously
it's not the political agenda of the movie. It's that it didn't do it well and it didn't have the balls to commit, as we will see. If I had told you a year ago there are two movies coming out that are supposed to really stick it to and explain the problems with our financial system. One of them stars George Clooney and Julia Roberts and is written or is directed by Jodie Foster, and the other was from the guy who made Anchorman.
Right.
Right.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
And which one do you think is going to be better?
But,
like, these are smart people that can make, that can do a better job.
Sure. Right.
And I just felt like that ultimately, maybe they're not as smart as we think they are or they think there are. I felt like it got really lazy when it didn't need to be, especially given the caliber of people involved.
Right. No, I agree. And I it's not necessarily even the message. Like what I mean is, they didn't do that great of a job trying to stick it to the man. And like, I can tell Jodie Foster was obviously trying to make a statement with this movie, but I was entertained by just the way the movie was made, the acting.
Like, I was entertained by,
I just like the concept of the movie, like not the big business story necessarily, but I really liked the way that it was so contained and the way that, you know, they're feeding him stuff through the earpiece. Like, it was just a very unique type of movie. And
I can name two movies that do it better instantly.
Yeah.
And couldn't, and I won't, because one of them is Dan's Video Recovery. But this movie is very similar to two movies from the 70s that are directed by the same dude, no less.
Yeah.
Okay. Jodie Foster before she went through the change.
What's that?
No. You just said, I mean, this is directed by Jodie Foster. Yeah. You said two movies directed by the same dude.
No, I said, I said two movies from the 70s. Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Jodie Foster was
like 16 or like, I don't know, a child in the 70s.
Let's get together.
But
that wasn't Jodie Foster, was it?
Wasn't she the one in The Parent Trap?
No, she was in The Parent Trap. She was in Freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. She, that but was,
I don't remember any singing
in Freaky
Friday.
They don't switch in Freaky Friday.
Okay. They switched.
No, they don't sing in that movie.
Parent Trap is the twins.
Yeah.
But Freaky Friday is where the mom becomes the daughter, daughter becomes the mom.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
Both starring Lindsay Lohan.
And they all...
Both remakes starring Lindsay Lohan.
Or Haley Mills.
Haley Mills, that's who
Haley Mills, who that
I was thinking
was,
of, I was like, the gal from the first season of Saved by the Bell. She was the teacher on the first season.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
See,
so, it was when it was called something else.
So, so he's holding them at gunpoint, and it basically, they're trying to get answers. So they speak to his right-hand woman. Her name is Diane Lester in the movie.
Who I liked her as well. Yeah, heard that she was attractive.
Yeah, I liked her performance too. I mean, there are some decent actors in this.
So what happens is like the guy takes over the studio, and Diane Lester is like, "I gotta go."
Yeah, because
like,
she's on.
He's like, "I'm out."
They couldn't find Ibis, so they were going to talk to her, who's his Ibis, like COO.
Ibis is not. It's the name of the company, not the guy's name.
Well, isn't his name?
It's like Dominic. No, his real name's Dominic something.
Oh, Dominic or Walt Camby.
Yeah.
Well, he's the CEO of Ibis, whatever.
They can't talk to Ibis.
Oh, sorry. So. I'm talking about Mr. Ibis himself, CEO.
I'm looking for Walt Joe Camby. Nabisco. Is he around here? Wait, there's not really anyone named Beatrice?
Yeah. Oh, to hell with it.
Dear, you guys probably don't remember that when all of a sudden, and what was it, in the late 80s, early 90s, Beatrice was the company that owned like a bunch of food products.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, every commercial started ending with like, ding, we're Beatrice.
I don't remember that.
And it was like, all of a sudden, it was on like, it felt like it was on about 70% of the commercials
what
you saw.
That mean?
It was like, we're Beatrice. And I'm like, this is starting to sound like a threat.
Right. Yeah. Like, are you going to overthrow the government?
Or? I've seen this movie.
Yeah.
So she wants to talk to Mr. Ibis.
Yeah, Mr. Ibis.
But he's out gallivanting
Ibis
about.
In the morning?
Yeah.
Ibis and Anthony?
Yeah.
He's out gallivanting about in his private jet. No one can find him, supposedly.
Because when he's in the air, he can't,
turns his phone off. He can't find him.
Yeah, it's like
that was dumb.
As soon as he's in his plane, he turns his phone
off. Yes, because a financial guru who's making billion-dollar deals all day long when he's on his plane wants no communication, especially on international flights when he'll be unavailable for 8 to 10 hours at a stretch. This makes
and the fact that his company just lost $800 million, and he goes id comunicado.
Yeah. Well,
take a little break.
No,
well, it had been a couple weeks at that point.
No, it was like a week.
No, it was like within the week. But no, but let's get to it. Obviously, there's more to this than it seems.
I'm just saying.
Well, there's a reason why he went. He was trying to break communication. So basically,
but he always does this. This is they did describe this as like whenever he's on a plane, this is what he does.
A shady bastard. Maybe,
but he's never reachable when he's on a plane when there's no reason.
No,
for that
is
in today's
stupid.
World. It's not like this is he isn't doing this just because of what just happened.
Yeah. Right. No. That you're right. That is kind of stupid to say that he always does that for sure. But basically, the COO, she kind of senses something's up because another
CCO. She's the chief communications officer.
Oh, gotcha. Because the COO, I think, was this other guy, whatever, another officer of the company.
Was the guy who's not Ron Silver.
What is that guy's name? He was
he had his name legally changed to not Ron Silver.
Not Ron Silver.
I see. That guy was in, I can only remember him from Time Cop. He was the bad guy in time. He was the time cop that went bad.
Dennis Boutsakaris.
There it is.
Who?
Easy for you to say.
And he is
you think is Ron Silver.
But it's not.
Yeah. But it's not.
And he is Avery Goodall, the CFO. Sorry.
Yeah.
So the CFO
I went to Google Dennis Boutsakaris, and it comes up Dennis Boutsakaris, Ron Silver.
Nice.
Wait, is Ron Silver the one in
Ron Silver,
Time Cop?
Ron Silver is no longer with us.
See if he's in Time Cop. But he wasn't batteries not included.
I think this is
also
Dennis Boutsakaris is in. Because I was like, I thought Ron Silver died, and I was watching. I was watching Better Call Saul, and I was like, huh, I must be wrong.
Apparently, I'm wrong.
But no, it was.
No, I'm not wrong.
I was totally right.
So he basically is kind of giving her the cold shoulder and like, yeah, no, we'll just don't go talk to the media. So something's up with him. And in the next scene, you see him actually texting.
Yeah,
the main guy who apparently has all his communications off. So obviously, you know that they're in cahoots and something's up here.
Right.
So basically, when she goes and talks to the media against his.
Sorry, he played in The Boy Who Cried Bitch.
Dennis
Bootsicaro, like one of his credits.
He was Orin Fell in The Boy Who Cried Bitch.
Yeah, good.
Like,
good.
Look at this guy, dude. Dan. Like, yeah. That looks like Ron Silver. Like,
yeah, I've got Ron Silver on my screen, and I'm looking at Dennis Bootsicaro. So yeah, no, I literally thought, I was like, I thought he died.
Yeah.
Nope.
Nope. Ron Silver died.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, she goes and talks to this Money Monster show against the CFO's advice, and Julia Roberts is on the phone with her, like, before she goes in the air.
Well, she's also, like, she's only reading from her bullet points.
Right. She's giving the PR spin, which she had prepared anyway before the guy came in with the gun, and Julia Roberts is basically like, this is not the BS that we're looking for. This guy has a bomb in our studio. He's about to blow us all up. You better give him some real answers. And so she starts to get kind of shaken, but, like, she's like, we don't know anything. And
she goes, like, you say, I don't know. One more time. Yeah.
So you better. She gets
say
off the
what
phone
again. Yeah. I dare you. I double dare you.
So she gets off the phone with them, and the CFO bitches her out and says, you're fired. And she's like, I don't report to you. I report to
Ron Silver.
Yeah. No, she doesn't report to Ron Silver.
What are you even doing here?
Why is the hologram of Ron Silver?
Boy, Dennis Bootsicaro had to be so happy when Ron Silver died.
I'm sure he was like, hey, man, I get all his parts.
He's like, all this is mine now. And everybody's like, I want a Ron Silver type. That's me.
I'm your guy.
I'm your dude.
Just, okay.
You know, there's another guy out there who's like, Ron Bootsicaro.
Yeah, damn it.
Bootsicaro's. that Bootsicaro stole my thunder.
Okay. Son wow. of a bitch. So,
who's the boy who cried bitch now? So she gets bitched out by not Ron Silver, and he's like, well, I don't report to you. And so now she is on a mission to do everything she can to find the real answer. She's trying to help them in the
studio. They automatically turn into detectives.
Yeah, so she's like, get me the name of everyone who we bought algos from.
What word did they use? Where I was like, what word? I had to Google that word to see if it was even real. The torque? What word did they use for the guys that were like making the algorithms?
Programmers.
No, they're called quarms or quants. Quants.
Oh, doing quants. Quantitative analysis.
But do they call them quants, or is this another thing that that sounds dirty?
So
I feel like we should use a chicken noise every time we say quant.
That's a new sensor.
We're gonna do that from now on. I'm gonna start calling my ex-wife a quant.
Yeah.
Does she do
it? I will say, Tom, and that's dangerously close to another word.
Yeah, and that might. That word up. Isn't strong enough.
So, anyway,
and it's a term of endearment over
it is.
Across
yeah,
the
you
pond,
talk to your buddies that way. Yeah. I totally. Yeah, yeah. I'm bringing it back.
Oh, when I was over there, I was like using it left and right. I was like,
I'm never going to get another
chance.
It's
just like, I can't say bomb in an airport, and I want to say bomb. So now that I'm here, I'm just going to keep using
this. Why can't I say bomb in an airport?
Never take Dan to a deaf comedy jam show.
Bomb.
He'll never make it out alive.
Just, you know, I know. As soon as you put that regulation or the governor on me, it's like,
comes off.
As soon as it's off.
Oh, you can say governor in England, too.
That's true.
That's right. Governor.
So, like you're a Dickensian street urchin.
So anyway, Murder, She Wrote goes on a detective spree trying to find every quant who made a Nalgo.
Yeah, I need to find every quant who we employed for however long to made the Algo.
So they go through a few different people, and they keep cutting back to the guy that
Like early in the movie, they cut to this guy in Beijing. They cut to these guys in Russia. They cut to these guys in South Africa.
They set it up that there's going to be from a few different countries.
These are all going to play a part. Right. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, they're showing Chekhov's gun, I guess, right?
Yeah, right.
So they keep cutting back to this guy, and he's the guy that was in the Friday the 13th,
you
said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so...
He takes, like an ice pick to the top of the head. I think
as they do
in those movies.
So he's kind of like, he's got like a hooker or something, and he's like sitting on a couch hanging out. And he's got like a hooker passed out. It was next to some drugs or something.
Yeah,
and
it was the most like it was just racist representation of Beijing.
You're totally, you know that he's like an underground
because
well,
we all know the
you
we know. All know the computer programmers. That's how they
crazy
live.
Character.
They live like GNR circa 1997,
rolling in the Vag and Coke. Like that's what that guy was doing.
So
that's a thing, I guess.
Cranking out some tasty algos.
Yeah. You know,
so they basically, they eventually.
Find me at quant.org.
They eventually get a hold of him, and he's on the phone talking to her, and he's like, this is not, I designed this. And he's like, my algo cannot.
Can we not say that
can
again?
Can we just say algorithm?
Yeah, that's enough.
Let's
acknowledge that they say algo,
okay.
And then let us never say it again.
Okay. It's no longer a thing in this room.
All right. Thank you.
So retired.
He basically
retired.
Says, I program.
Stop saying algo, you dirty quant.
Hey. So he basically says, I designed this, and there's no way it could lose $800 million.
That's all I need to hear. That's not the story. Well, fair enough.
Okay. Okay.
You're just a guy cooked up with a dead hooker on your futon. I guess if it can't happen, it can't happen.
To be fair,
I haven't even been with a hooker
today. Good day to you, kind sir.
To be fair, she wasn't on Skype. She couldn't see the dead hooker or the coke. So anyway, he says, it can't do this. I didn't program it. There's fingerprints.
There's human fingerprints,
there's
all fingerprints. Over this.
There's these buzzwords that are very, you know, like we have been naming. So now they say fingerprints the rest of the movie instead of like there's some funny business. Fingerprints.
I think they should have said funny business. That would have been.
I would have.
So somebody was reading like the headlines or reading a Reader's Digest at the airport when they decided to write this movie
and had a thesaurus
on their flight. Across country.
Yeah,
see,
right.
This is why, Dan, it's so important that we do what we can to get SkyMall back in business.
Yes.
Because if there was a SkyMall on a plane, you're going to go through SkyMall and be like an $800 hot dog warmer.
Yes.
Oh, no, I want that. I want that cake pan that's just the crust.
Yeah.
Precisely. It was like a brownie pan that was like a big
All edges.
See,
it's like a maze.
Yeah.
It's all
if
edges.
That had happened, Jodie Foster would right now have warm hot dogs and delicious brownies. But instead.
Yeah.
We're subjected to this.
Yeah.
Instead of this movie,
her D girl or development person decided, you know what? I read an article
right
while
up your alley.
I was going to say,
while we were waiting for you.
D girl. That's not what I was going with in my head.
Oh, yeah, I think Jodie Foster has a couple D girls.
I bet she does.
I think she has a couple
D-girl.
DL girls.
I don't think they're DL anymore.
No, it's not. I don't think it's on the DL.
It's not.
No, because she said it at a speech.
She didn't say it.
Yeah. Well, she came out and
said everything but it.
Yeah.
So
and then it was like, waka, waka, waka.
Yeah. Right. It was
Wait.
Was she wearing?
Are you telling me Fozzie Bear is a lesbian?
100%.
No, that would explain the shoes.
He's a bear.
He's,
what more do you want to know?
Well, that should be a gay man.
FYI. He's a she.
Yeah. It's 2016.
Truth is out now.
He can use any bathroom he wants at Target,
true, yeah.
Joe.
Was Jodie Foster wearing like the little derby and the tie?
Yeah. Walk, walk, walk.
With a chicken or whatever and a spray bottle and a pie? No, but anyway.
I can't believe they canceled that show.
Yeah,
that show was
floundering. It was floundering.
I like.
They
that
didn't
show
know
lot.
What to do with Disney, it.
Disney,
it was getting better, but
Disney
it was
has
better.
Struggled with the Muppets.
They have.
Since they've had.
And then they rebooted it with the good movies.
And they did such a great. And I thought Muppets Most Wanted was good too.
I did
not
well.
As good as the original.
Yeah, first was good.
First was great.
First was great.
That first one
was
amazing. But I thought the second one was solid.
It was a solid second movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to this thing. So the guy,
I'm gonna go pee again
okay.
for the second time in this episode, and I'm not. I don't even really have to pee all that bad. I just don't want to hear about this movie. It's just a good excuse for me not to have to talk about
this
movie.
Are we implementing the hour of suck?
Yeah, I think we should. 60 minutes of suck.
I'm trying to get through this damn movie, Joe. Yeah. If you would just let me.
Just wrap it up.
All right. So Dan, you haven't seen this movie. Can you guess who the bad guy is?
Who the bad guy is?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's the guy who's not on his phone.
Can you say
ding,
it's
ding,
Jigsaw.
Ding, ding, ding. It's Ibis.
Yeah.
It's
Morgan.
I can't believe it.
So anyways, she knows that there's
Also,
I'm sorry, is this supposed to be a surprise? Because right now he just sounds like the old man. He sounds like the cantankerous old man at the beginning of a Scooby-Doo episode.
No, it's exactly what it is. Exactly.
Like, what are you guys doing here? It's like, I wonder if he's the bad guy.
Yeah, right.
So not only are we supposed to realize that he's the bad
guy,
obvious, but he's also having an affair.
Yeah.
With the what's her name?
Well, I'm trying to
just to hate him even more. He's like he kisses her and he was like I don't know makes a comment about his wife, and it was just kind of like
a different part
of
that.
It doesn't matter though.
Movie.
Like we already don't like him, but now we're supposed to like
make him
even worse.
Well, and
what's the one thing we can do? He's cheating on his wife.
So she basically, she knows that there's these fingerprints involved, and then she looks at his passport when he finally, his plane lands. She's like, I'll put your luggage away, and she sneaks into it.
I did enjoy this scene where, like, the little assistant walks around. She's like, ooh, that's cold.
Yeah.
And she was like, go sit in the front. Yeah. If you tell me about this, I'll kill you.
So she sees on his passport, it says, like, South Africa.
South Africa, yeah.
And so that cuts to there's a workers.
Maybe he's just a Dave Matthews fan.
Or he's trying to find
but
the
you know
next
what? The punishment
Charlize
should, the punishment should be the same.
It should be. Yeah. You go to jail. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, never mind.
So,
it's a much better band.
So, she sees. So, this is where that workers' strike was going on. They were cutting to, like, this union strike back
so
in South Africa.
They detail this plot where, like, the union.
Let's not.
All right.
Plot. Let's not go crazy.
Those in, like, rock and roll
I've yet to hear plot really.
So basically, what it comes down to is the police have this plan to snipe the wireless receiver on the bomb vest that Clooney's wearing.
I did enjoy this one too, where they're like, what's the chance of him surviving? Like, about 80%.
Yeah.
If we get it,
like,
if we
what's
get
80%,
there
what are the chances you make the right shot? 80%. So 80%
he's
of
like,
80%?
This is awful.
The assistant of the TV show overhears the cops talking about this. She tells Julia Roberts. Julia Roberts tells Clooney, and Clooney says, they're going to try to shoot you to get the wireless receiver. So he basically then takes Kyle, the character that has
like, whatever
gunpoint,
ends this movie the quickest.
Yeah. Puts him in front of him to like block the gunshot, and they basically go on an adventure.
They realize that this guy is going to be at like the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah, because the assistant
says they're going to do like a meeting there.
Yeah,
so
he's going to be there.
They walk down Pine or whatever street that they walk down this street in broad daylight
as people videotaped on their cell phones, which I thought was good though because it shows how. This is how people are.
Oh,
if there was a guy with a bomb vest on,
like the guy
walking
was like,
down the street, there would be people on their cell phones inches away from a bomb.
I like where
to put
like,
it on YouTube.
It's not OJ. Like, this guy has a bomb strapped to his chest.
Yeah. But wouldn't people
that
do
line.
That and put it on Facebook,
oh, my gosh,
live
absolutely.
Stream it,
yeah.
Risk getting a bomb just to get a picture of something that tomorrow won't even matter? Like, I did like that statement, but anyways.
There's another statement at the end of the movie that I also really enjoyed.
Yeah. Oh,
the
end?
The end?
Finn. It was fancy.
Yeah, it was Finn. Yeah, it was.
But so anyway, so they walk down the street. Basically, they end up at the place where Mr. Ibis is. Kyle says, hey, this might be a good time to tell you that bomb vest, there's not really bombs on it.
So because I'm a good guy.
Right.
So we're supposed to feel sorry now.
Well,
for
we're supposed to feel sorry for
gunman.
Earlier when they get his awful girlfriend on there. And like tears him apart on live TV where she's.
You mean like in Dog Day Afternoon?
Like exactly in Dog Day Afternoon. Isn't that weird?
Except
not as good.
Great movie.
This movie is very similar to Dog Day Afternoon.
Yeah. It is. In a lot of ways.
But
except for the way they count.
Except for the talent.
Right. And being entertaining.
Correct.
Yeah. And that enjoyable. Is one of my favorite Pacino movies of all time.
Oh my God. Dog Day Afternoon is just.
Is that Brian De Palma?
No, Sydney Lumet.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah, Dog Day Afternoon. Ooh, man. That holds up.
So they're walking down the street and they finally make it to the Newark, wherever they're.
66 minutes or whatever that other one was that he did.
Yeah. So they finally make it there. And at this point, you know, the Clooney and the kid are kind of teaming up and like they're. Clooney's in no danger right at this point. So, you know, he knows that this kid, he's trying to help him get answers basically at this point. And so the kid is like, yeah, you know what? He wants his answers from Mr. Ibis. And he says, you know what? Here, you take the vest off and put it on him. And so this guy now is wearing a bomb vest. And he basically says, yeah,
he's not
yeah,
because
Clooney's like, I'm going to do you a favor. I did like that part. And he puts the receiver behind him. He's like, don't turn your back to anyone. So the kid is basically like, at this point, he's like, I don't want your money. You know, everyone's trying to buy him off. He's like, I don't want your money. At this point, I want answers. Admit that you were wrong, that you did something wrong. And the guy basically goes on this rant, which this is
like, it's
Foster
business,
trying
blah,
to make
blah,
a
blah.
Point that this is all the big business thinks about, that there's
nobody
no... Nobody
cared when I was making you money.
Somebody... tell me what I'm doing that's illegal. All I've done, blah, blah, blah. So he goes on his big rant, and then the kid has him at gunpoint. He has the bomb trigger, and he's like, you tell me right now, admit that you're wrong. And so he says, okay. And, you know, so he's
well,
the,
he
bad,
an account.
The bad
like
guy.
One, two, three.
Yeah,
and
so the bad guy, you know, admits his evil doings.
I was wrong.
That I was wrong, you know. And so then the kid.
It was Kermit when he did that. That's
right.
In honor of the Muppets being
wrong.
Cancer.
I thought
it was Ray Romano.
Yeah.
Hey, it was actually... what's the other guy's name that sounds just like it? He just died. Egon.
Harold Ramis. Oh.
So anyway, then the kid throws the bomb trigger that once he takes his finger off it, it detonates, and he's got all these snipers on him. And at this point, you know, Clooney's like, no, don't do it, because he's starting to feel for this kid and this gunman, which that's one of the biggest problems I have with this movie, is that I don't care if this guy got the right answers or not. Are we supposed to sympathize with a gunman bomber?
I
just thought that was the worst part of the movie.
Yeah.
I don't feel any sympathy for him. I don't care if he lost $60,000. You don't hold people hostage and try to blow them up. Like,
and then be like, oh, by the way, not a real bomb vest.
Yeah, but that's not...
Yeah, it doesn't undo...
I don't have any sympathy for his character at all.
We jokingly talked about during Keanu, like at the end of Keanu, when he gets arrested.
Yeah.
They go to jail. Yeah. Like in this one, I was like, I wonder how this is going to end. Oh,
so,
well then.
So he throws the trigger. Clooney's like, no. And then they shoot him as soon as he drops the trigger. And then the guy, yells and he jumps back, which at the end of the movie becomes
himself. No, that's James Brown.
That's, yeah.
I'm sorry.
And so anyway, the kids.
Which actually, I love that meme of that they've taken of Trump, where like the eagle attacks him.
Oh yeah.
And then they've inserted Bernie Sanders like scaring him, and he's like, argh! Like that. I don't know why that one makes me laugh. Or like the one where I guess the guy jumps on stage and also scares the crap out of Trump, and they've also put that with Bernie Sanders where he's scared. That just makes me laugh.
So anyway, Clooney goes over to him and he's like, get medical attention. So he's supposed to feel bad for this kid now because he was just outing the big businessman or whatever, which, you know, BS.
Posing as a terrorist.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's why
it doesn't work. Being an intentional terrorist is still terrorist acts.
Who's right. He did actually.
It's not like we're in favor. It's not like we like terrorism if you're right.
Yeah. Right.
You know what? If you're American and you're a terrorist, not so bad.
Pointing a gun at you,
and he
it
did
doesn't
shoot
matter if it's loaded or not.
The gun was loaded,
and he did
that person,
and he shot an assistant.
Oh,
so, like,
yeah.
We see him
shot
actually
the assistant
shoot
who's
someone.
Running around with a hard on.
Yeah, that was a funny moment, but in the beginning.
Yeah,
but anyway, we won't get into that. So the kid
is
ends
that,
up.
What's her name from Finance?
Yeah, the kid ends up dying, and things go back to the way they were. And
which actually,
are,
I so we get to the end of the movie and Clooney's kind of sitting there in the hospital watching, you know, CNN and all these different C-SPAN, all this different stuff. And like they immediately, as soon as the situation is over,
they go to all the bars that have been watching the situation.
It's just kind of, and they just start leaving.
And a guy starts playing foosball again.
Right.
Like it shows that like people watch the media. And so, yeah, I do like that point too. Like they made a couple of points that people are just like, they're in it for the show. They don't care if they lost $800 million, but they care if someone's at gunpoint. The thing's over. They go back to their memes and their
foosball. Yeah, which actually,
how come The Big Short will make more money than this movie?
Because that's a way better movie.
Because,
I'm just saying, like, everything
they also
they're
don't
accusing
hold the audience in such low regard.
Yeah, because I mean, all the things they're accusing us of. There's a movie that does it better,
right?
Yeah. And it made more money, which
for
kind
sure.
of undermines their. I mean, there's some truth to what they're saying, absolutely. But
yeah. But anyway, I liked the way it was filmed. I liked the story, like the way that, you know, Julia Roberts was in the earpiece and they were directing people to do things. Like, I liked the thriller part of it. I didn't
Michael
like...
Jackson wasn't in this movie.
I didn't like the statement, the big business thing they were trying to make. Like Tom said, I don't think they did it well. You know, and I don't like the gunman part of it being a hero because he outed big business. He was a terrorist. So there were things I definitely didn't like, but I was entertained by the movie.
For an hour and a half. It, you know, it's nice to see Clooney. Like, I just like seeing Clooney on screen. I enjoy him as an actor. This is the first time I remember seeing Julia Roberts in a long time where I wasn't.
Yeah, I don't like Julia Roberts.
Completely annoyed by her,
and I wasn't annoyed by her in this one either. For whatever reason,
I did enjoy the kid. Like the kid who
was a good actor.
Take away from the fact that he was a terrorist.
Well, he was a good actor.
But yeah, I enjoyed him.
Yeah, he was really good.
But overall, it's something. This is almost like that Jack Ryan movie.
Oh, this sounds like
I'm
sort of
about
the Lean Cuisine equivalent of a modern media thriller. Yeah.
I would say like Kid Cuisine.
With the brownie, right?
It depends.
I love the one with the brownie. Yeah. Applesauce.
Was it crust only?
Well, it's a small thing. Basically was big enough to have just
that thing is like the Weight Watchers version.
Okay.
They weren't, like Tom said, I think the thing is that they weren't as smart as they thought they were. It isn't as poignant of a point they were trying to make. Like they just didn't execute their point right. I liked the idea of it's like how Inside Man has a twist and how like movies like that wasn't your movie, was it?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
It's like, I like movies that do things where they take place in one area and there's a thriller aspect. Like, I like the filming part of
Man,
it.
That's weird. I didn't realize that was a Spike. I mean, the more I think about it, it doesn't even look like a Spike Jonze movie.
I think that was his attempt to be like, hey, look, I can make a mainstream Hollywood movie.
And he did. That movie
doesn't have
good.
To have politics or anything. Yeah. It can just be a good old movie.
With a good twist.
And then he gets mad about something and stops doing that. Like,
Really wish that actors would just stop with their agendas like that. Like,
yeah,
be an actor.
He gets mad a lot.
Wait, who are you talking about?
He's a great filmmaker. He's a great filmmaker, but then, he just goes off.
What was the last one he did that kind of flopped? Chirac,
yeah.
But he was one of the Oscars, boycott the Oscars, and Chris Rock should quit, and and it's like,
Chris Rock's like, shut up.
No, it's like, if you're Chris Rock, you're not going to quit. You're going to use it to make every single joke about
as often as you can, because you're smart enough to do
it. So, that was the movie.
Yeah.
The movie.
Are you Tom's on Candy Crush right now.
Did you bubble bomb or whatever?
Oh god, he is on Candy Crush. Now that's just kind of rude.
So
I was if Tom had room for more on his track
two
pad
players
over there, I'd be doing it too.
What the hell? Me and Joe are like, that's movie's pretty entertaining. Candy Crush.
I was an active contributor except when I was peeing.
Yeah.
4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
So here's the good version of that movie.
Okay.
Yeah. It's actually 40 years old from 1976.
Hang on. Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
I do.
Okay.
Oh, here's a good movie.
Oh, well, thank you. Are we going down into the salt mines?
Yeah, no, here's
ooh,
the
I forgot about
the good
mines.
Version of that is, and it's from 1976. It is a movie called Network.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen this, I mean, it's an important movie that still
holds up. Have you watched it recently?
Yeah.
I watched it like maybe 3 or 4 months ago, and I watched it with my wife, who had never seen it. And I was like, I remember watching this movie as a kid. I remember it being amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but because of its topic, which is about how weird the media can get, I don't know that it holds up. And it does hold up.
Yeah, it is almost terrifying.
I think it holds up today.
Yeah,
it's sort of like today.
Prescient.
Yeah, back when this movie, came out, it was sort of like, I mean, there was no cable.
Right.
It was just the big networks. It was about network power, and it's basically a story of an anchor, Howard Beale, who's suffering from declining ratings, and. He finds out he's got like 2 weeks left on the air, and he decides to. Take the system to task. He says he's going to commit suicide, and then they notice his ratings go
all
up.
All I could think of was from The Howling. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to show you something.
And then he, the famous. I mean, a lot of people know it just from the speech of "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." And also the fact that it was Peter Finch, and he got the best. I think he got the Oscar for this, but it was post. It was after died right after this movie.
Did Ned Beatty get?
He was great.
Was he up for this?
Ned Beatty, Robert Duvall, Faye Dunaway.
I think he was nominated for best supporting actor. Because honestly, Ned Beatty, you see him, but he really only has like one scene.
That's all it takes.
Sweet baby Jesus.
But he's the one that gives the big speech.
That speech when he's like,
you
are what, disturbing the forces of nature or whatever. And it's like that speech is like, I feel so bad.
That's right, Mr. Luthor.
This is what happens when Paddy Chayefsky writes a movie. Like the one we just reviewed. So this is an amazing movie that does sort of shine a light on media and the impact and sort of like the circus that surrounds it, and in a way that 40 years later
it's creepy how much it holds up,
and it holds up, and it's just funny because they can't just like open up, they can't open up a book or even like look back, and scroll through like their browsing history or look back at earlier ways to do something better.
Right.
Yeah.
And
especially that, because in this movie, and I avoided talking about because I knew it was your video recovery, but this movie was to me was such, it was Dog Day Afternoon meets Network, which are two great movies, oddly enough, by the same director.
Yes.
And it was just like, why isn't this better, especially given the caliber of talent involved? There's no reason for it. And I think that's why I have such anger for the movie.
Yes.
Is that, well, you know, when we see Project Almanac and it's bad, I expect the people from Project Almanac to make a bad movie.
Yeah, you don't expect...
Like, they're newcomers that haven't done a whole lot, so when all of a sudden you get a Chronicle instead of a Project Almanac, you're like, hey, that's a present.
And then
surprise.
You do nothing else after that.
But when you're talking, you know, three of the biggest names in Hollywood with long... track records of success that know how to make good movies, that know how to surround themselves with people that can make good movies and can pretty much do whatever they want at this point in their career, for them to turn in a movie that this half-baked
slums.
Is kind of insulting. And
I would agree.
And that's why I had ultimately like zero patience for this film.
This makes me actually appreciate Adam McKay even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So good on him.
Because I mean, that movie had no right to be as good as... I mean, I know I had the screener of it sitting on my nightstand for quite some time before I finally was like,
Did you just think it was like, whatever?
Yeah. I was just like, and I thought it was going to be preachy, and it was preachy, but I will say, though, it helped that a lot of what it was preaching was stuff I already kind of agreed with that I've been saying for a long time had been... It, you know, had been a problem.
But everybody is invested in that movie. I mean, they're not slumming it. The script's not slumming it. The directing's not slumming it. The acting, I mean, there's nothing about that movie is like, it's not our tourism in any way, but I mean, like Christian Bale, he's not slumming it. Anybody in that movie, they're not, I mean, it's a solid
Steve Carell's not doing his thing.
No.
Yeah.
And it just shows that, like, okay, well, so very similar, obviously similar topics. Just, you know, one was just like, do a favor for Jody.
right.
Yeah. So, yeah, Network. Don't
do it.
See
so
this
good.
Movie. See that movie.
Yeah, Network and or Dog Day Afternoon. If you haven't seen either of those
Both
movies,
of those.
You cannot
that's
go
good,
wrong.
It's a good double feature.
Yeah.
That's a good double feature.
Get past the hairstyles and the wide collars.
I actually think they work because they're period pieces at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It almost gives it
that's weird. I guess they are, aren't
documentary
they?
Style feel.
It does. And especially because Sidney Lumet, he's got that kind of real, kind of gritty street level type
Absolutely.
Of filmmaking, especially
on Serpico?
Dog Day.
Did he write Serpico?
I think he did. Do Serpico.
Ooh, yeah, that's one of my favorites.
He did a lot of stuff. Like he was 12 Angry Men, right? That was his first movie.
Yeah.
And
I just bought that on the Blu-ray Criterion Edition.
Ooh. Yeah.
Not only do you get that one, but you also get like the HBO.
Oh, you do? I think it was Showtime with Jack Lemmon.
Yeah,
and
you
Tony
get
Danza.
Both.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
Putting it in my cart.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's see. 12 Angry Men.
George C. Scott.
Long Day's Journey into Night.
Yeah.
He did Serpico.
Pawnbreaker.
Yeah. Serpico is one of the best cop movies ever made. Yes.
Oh, I forgot he did Failsafe.
Uh-huh.
That movie
Which one's that? Is that the Travolta bomb movie?
No, Failsafe was from 64. It was basically Dr. Strangelove, but it wasn't a comedy. And it came out like 3 weeks after Strangelove.
Oh.
And so everybody was like, they were laughing at it because it was so similar. Just it was a total coincidence. And if that movie had come out beforehand, I think it would be a much
looked at much
more well-known film.
What the hell was that Travolta bomb movie? I'm thinking of all of his movies. Never
mind. Yeah,
there was one. I can't remember what the name of it is, but it was like
Staying Alive.
It was not Staying Alive. No, where he's
talking
Earth?
Now.
What was that? Earth?
Or Battlefield Earth.
Battlefield Earth.
Oh.
What was I watching where they referenced that? And it was just kind of like, I don't know, like what happened there. John Schnabel, I'm calling him out on this podcast right now. When we were in high school,
he did The Wiz.
How did that happen? When we were in high school, he picked two movies back to back, and it was Battlefield Earth and Mission to Mars. And we were both like, "You're done. You don't get to pick movies anymore."
Mission to Mars is superior to. I mean,
either one, they're bad movies.
They're bad, but Mission to Mars at least.
I was like, "No, you don't get to pick movies anymore."
It held up to Battlefield Earth. I said Mission to Mars is like 2001. Yeah.
That's true. That's fair.
That's fair.
Either way, you don't get to pick movies anymore.
Yeah,
no, you should. You still have your movie picking privileges revoked.
Yeah, they're revoked
for a period of time. That's fair. That's also fair.
Serves you right.
So,
I mean, you got a turd at a less stinky turd.
Yeah.
Like, well, that second turd was way better. Oh.
Yeah, it was like the first turn needed Febreze, but the second turn needed Lysol and a match.
I actually turned around and had to sniff the first turn just to get that second turn out of my nose.
And Tom, Sidney Lumet, one of his last movies was that movie you love, Find Me Guilty, with Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Yeah. And also, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead is pretty good.
Yeah.
And, and that's got a sex scene you don't know how to process because it's got Marissa Tomei, which you're like, hey. But she is just getting railed by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, that's weird.
I mean, just like
like Monsters Ball railed?
Worse.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, she is,
all right. Like, they did it on screen.
Like, he's fucking her like she owes him money. Like, I don't know how else to say it.
Do your chicken noise.
Yeah. I'm not doing it. That was awesome.
It was like,
you have that ADR somewhere, right?
No, I call Joe every time I need to edit, and he just doesn't on the fly.
He doesn't lie.
Hey, are you awake right now?
No.
Do a chicken noise.
There it is.
That's the new one.
It's like Dean Martin did the chicken noise.
Hey, everybody. We're going to have a great show.
We're going to have a good show.
Oh, boy.
So, well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So, I guess that's it for this episode. I guess let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
I'm Kevin Brackett. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And I am Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. You can email us at RealSpoilers@ReviewSTL.com. Nobody has emailed us since the last episode. This is shocking. It's almost like we record these back to back.
We have a website, too.
We do have a website. I haven't mentioned that in a while. You can go to RealSpoilers.com. You could theoretically go to Dirty Pirate Hookers.
But it seems to work now. No errors.
It's not blocking you?
I think we got it all cleared up.
We can try it again and see if it works now. You can go to DirtyPirateHookers.com and find all of our wonderful past episodes. So is there something else I should be pushing? iTunes. You can go there, rate and review and subscribe to us. It helps us a lot and we greatly appreciate it. And you can join our League of Show Sharers. So I believe that's it for this week. Next week.
Oh, man. Is it the Nice Guys?
It's the Nice Guys.
Yeah.
Well, every week is kind of the Nice
that's
Guys.
True. Yeah, that's a good
with
point.
Us here.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
But
unless you're talking about Jodie Foster's latest movie.
Yeah. I was nice. I could have said much worse. Next week is Nice Guys. Shane Black is finally treated like an A-lister.
Yes, he is.
Thanks to Iron Man
Black
3.
Black is back.
Hopefully.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if, you know, he's had a bite of this apple once before, and he gave us The Last Boy Scout, and then it kind of all went. And
oh, I was like, watch your mouth.
I love The Last Boy Scout, but it wasn't a hit.
No.
And
some Bruce Willis cared.
Yeah, it was. Maybe.
So if I hit a guy with a surfboard, I say, surf's up?
Yeah. God, I love the movie.
That's a great movie.
Anyway, so Nice Guys is coming up next week. Thanks for checking us out. And until next time, Murphy shoots Sal in the head.
I've seen trouble all my day. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and
tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.